This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, August 21st, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon between 12 noon and 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to know about natural therapeutics, natural health care. You know, something different than the medications that you're taking and the drugs that, that you're possibly going to have to go on later on, and maybe the surgery that is going to be prescribed for you. Well, here's an opportunity. You've tried, you've done things that you thought was the right path, but guess what? It may not turn out to be that way, so here's an opportunity. Call us. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Let's make that happen. You know, I have a lot of things that I want to cover with you today. I've been reading and trying to catch up and trying to get some things done. That's the problem with healthcare today and wellness care, is that there's so much coming down. You have to disseminate what really is going on. It really goes back to basics. You know, the basic foundational absolutes about your health. It goes back to the book I wrote about 5 years ago now. And it's called Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program, because the thing that is that we often abdicate control. We give it up to other things, other people, just simply because they told us we have to, without using the brain that was given to us and being able to disseminate and cipher and filter through information and really say, you know, is this appropriate? So too many of us look at, you know, the, I'll call it the MDD complex, and, you know, I'll put all physicians and doctors underneath that, that we don't question them because they have that credentialing. The thing that is that we have to credential, or we have to look at these credentials and ask the question, how are they applied in our behalf, in our favor, and then look behind the scenes relative to cost. So we're going to get into that a little bit, but in a little different way, and there's two areas that I want to hit. One is, I want to talk about heart health and cardiovascular health, and because it affects everything in the body, just as your nervous system does, just as the brain, the spinal cord, the cranial nerves, and so forth, without them working optimally and maximally, nothing in your body is going to work well. And if there's any impairment, there's any irritation, you have an issue. Well, the heart is the pump, and there's a lot of other electrical fields that are associated with it, but all these little, you know, channels, we call arteries and veins and so forth, and they go every place, and they deliver the nutrition, the nourishment for the body to be able to survive upon. But somewhere along the line, we mess it up, we screw it up, and we end up with disease processes that are primary because of our own fingers in the pot stirring it up, and then we also end up with problems because of the other things that we take to try to prevent and try to alter and try to, you know, stop the progression of whatever disease process we're told that is going to be our end product. And here's where the soup gets really muddy. And I want to try to go through it a little bit, but I want to give you data first. So we're going to talk about heart health and cardiovascular health and, you know, brain health and where all these things go today. But we're also going to talk about, and we're going to talk about economics. The economics of healthcare. And in my brain, the economics that are preventable relative to the burden that they present to society that can be changed dramatically. You know, there's a tremendous economic impact of medication as it relates to problems in people that are over the age of 60. And it rivals, you know, diseases of Alzheimer's and cancer. And you can throw all types of cardiovascular disease, and, you know, we'll talk about diabetes and get into what we call metabolic syndrome, because that's kind of a group of all these things. And, you know, the top five causes of death in this country, you know, end up with a whole bunch of things that are symptomatically related, from confusion to depression to, you know, and, you know, you have falls that trigger things, and then you end up with disabilities and loss of independence. You notice I didn't say heart disease and diabetes and cancer and so forth, although, see, those are the end products of certain things. So let's take a look at the cost. Remember I said this is an economic course, you know, the first part of the program today. Let's take about the cost. The cost of medicated related problems, medication, iatrogenic, physician-induced, idiopathic, I don't know what it is, but it's just their type of disease process, but we're going to relate it to the medication and side effects in our community at large, right? Well, here, let me give you a number. Let me give you an annual number that is spent every year to blunt the side effects of medications, the things that you get into trouble with, and we have to do something else because of it. The tune of $178 billion per year. Now, we're not even talking about the medication itself. We're talking about the cost of medication-related problems at $178 billion a year. And some estimates said that's conservative. So, and all this stuff comes from, by the way, this is sources that have come from very, very substantial medical models, drug-related morbidity and mortality. And so if you go into like the Journal of American Pharmaceutical Association, and you're going to see some amazing statistics, but let me give you some data. Let me give you some data because some of this stuff is older and let me give you the top end of that $178 billion cost. Some people are projecting that it is $250 billion every year. Right now, $250 billion. But hospital admission, the cost to get you into the hospital because you got a drug problem, is somewhere in the neighborhood of $125 billion. Long-term care admission, okay, that you've got to be taken care of because somebody messed up with a type of medication, something in the neighborhood of $35 billion. Your physician's costs, just, you know, doctor got to come in and he says, okay, this is what's going on, write another prescription, is about $15 billion. Emergency costs, you know, you get yourself in real trouble, like different types of meds. And by the way, this is not even including things like Tylenol, which, by the way, Tylenol utilization is the number one reason for hospital admission for liver failure. All right, so that's not even costing that, but we're talking about emergency, about $10 billion a year. And additional treatments, follow-up, making sure things, that's about $5 billion. And so, and then you have additional costs of about $24 billion that are spent over other types of medicated-related types of problems in other settings other than hospitals. This is just what they've been observing, right? And then you got $20 billion in acute care facilities at, you know, the hospital. So you start adding this stuff up, and we, you know, you want to start balancing the budget. You want, and then even goes before that. I'm going to give you some other statistics that we were talking about prior to the show starting, that you've heard me say that, you know, the majority of the population is on some sort of medication. But, you know, do you remember how many of you are really on some sort of medication? We're talking about in excess of 70% of the population. 70% of us are on at least one prescribed medication. And over 60% of us are on at least two. Something's wrong here, my friends. Something is seriously, seriously wrong. You know, our Creator did not design this body to be able to have to depend on medication. So we have to look at the why is that. What is going on that is so desperately bad that we have to be on medications to sustain ourselves? Well, the bottom line is, look at agendas, okay? And we're going to talk about things that are so and that are not so as we go through the program today. But here's, you know, statistics that are irrefutable when you're looking at the health and wellness. And everybody's, you know, slapping their chest and their back and saying, oh, look at the U.S. population. Cardiovascular disease has gone down. And they give the statistic that is down by, not the disease process, but deaths due to cardiovascular problems have gone down. And some statistics will go up to a third. Well, the bottom line is, it may be that we're seeing less deaths from cardiovascular disease in the initial phases. But what they're not reporting is that there are more people on cardiovascular medications and are being impaired because of their medications and they can't function. And what they don't report is what they call deaths due to old age. And old age is, well, guy died of a heart attack. the heart went into failure. It stopped beating. Those are the things that they don't report, that don't become part of this statistic. So, oh, well, you know, he was 80 years old or 82 years old or 90 years old. He was in great health and then all of a sudden died. Well, we forgot to tell him the report that he was on a lot of statins, that there was all kinds of other medications, and maybe that person having a different lifestyle would have lived longer, but more importantly, lived better because of it. But it's taken away the productivity and all the problems that are associated with that. So we want to talk a little bit about those things today because I want you to have the medications in their proper light. I want you to understand, you know, that in some situations in critical care crisis, there are things that may be necessary. But long-term application without questioning, are there other ways of doing this, is the most detrimental and destructive thing that we can do to our population as a whole because we're becoming zombies. You know, you've heard me talk about, you know, the statistics related to autism. You know, we know today in projection because of movies like Vaxxed and so forth, documentaries that are out there, that the projection through the year 2032, that if we continue to see the increased rise of autism and autistic type of syndromes, that we could end up with 1 in 2 kids being autistic. 1 in 2 or autistic type syndromes. Do you know the impact economically, let alone the social structure that's going to exist because of that type of situation? I don't know about you, but it's making me crazy. And, you know, if I have to dedicate the rest of my career to making sure that everybody's aware of it, then that's what I'm doing. And I want to make sure that you're aware. But the bottom line is that you have to begin to take action on this. So we're going to focus a little bit today on the cardiovascular syndrome and other types of medications and so forth. And if you have questions that you'd like me to wean through, this is an opportunity. Let's talk about the things that are going on in your world at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's discuss these things because it's incredibly important that you know what it is that's going on, that the risk factors that are there, and it has to do with lifestyle in so many different situations. At the end of the day, if we take control back and we take control of our lives and make some decisions instead of out of convenience and opportunism and stop listening to the talking heads and, you know, telling us that X number of medications are going to be necessary for the rest of our life. Take these things until you drop dead. My brain goes, I don't think so. That's not the way the good Lord made it. I don't think that's what was supposed to be going on. I read an article just recently in a magazine that came out one of the spas. And for the first time in a long time, I said, wow, they really hit it on the mark. And I was really impressed. It's called Rethinking Heart Health. And it goes on to say, think you know what makes a healthy heart, think again. And we're going to talk about, as we get into the program today, the kind of things that you can do to restore your heart and some of the myths that are out there and being perpetuated about, you know, what we should and shouldn't do and yada, yada, yada. But there's like 8 things I want to cover with you towards the end of the program. So you can be more proactive. You can prevent things. You can, you know, you can get it done. You know, my parents, my father died of massive heart attack when he was 68 years old, but it was a lifestyle induced situation. He was a 2-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. He was a hairdresser. He was exposed to fumes. In the days that he was working, all the clients in the salon smoked. So they had secondary smoke as well as their own smoke. And his favorite habit, his exercise, was playing cards. And, you know, he drank, you know, coffee and fried egg sandwiches and donuts and so forth when he was at the salon. And he worked 7 days a week. And do you see the model here? So what I want you to do is take a gut check and see what your lifestyle and exposures are. And think about this for a minute because we're coming up to the break. And then I want to talk about your stuff and I want to give you some more data because this is like way too important for us to set aside. We are being overdrugged, over-medicated for the convenience of some other situation other than our own health. Give me a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about several different things. We're talking about medications that you're being, in my opinion, overdrugged on. That, you know, there's like way too many of you, over 70% of the population that is taking at least one medication. Over 60% of us are taking at least two or more. That's not okay. It's a problem. And we have to start asking the question, why is it? Are we that sick of a society? Or are we being exposed? What's our environmental irritations? That's something called epigenetics. Remember that? Remember that term, epigenetics. That means your genes are being stimulated by the things that you choose to do, some things that you're choosing not to do, or for whatever reason, and you're letting whatever take place. So we need to talk about that. We're going to talk about the blood supply. But also remember, this is as important. This cardiovascular patterns, the blood supply to our body is cooperatively as important as the nervous system. And either one of them misfire, you've got a problem. So let's deal with that a little bit today, because I want to make you aware. If you're not aware, you're going to be subject to everybody else's propaganda, marketing, and so forth. And that's why we do the program the way that we do it. First, you know, I'd like to thank everybody that showed up at Gaithersburg last Thursday night. It was fun. I had a great time up there. Thank you for joining me. We had a great time. I did a lot of show and tell, and, you know, hopefully we can get back up in that area again. We're going to start doing the three keys to wellness in different locations throughout the year and kind of far out areas. But having said that, I want to remind you that coming up very, very soon, very important that you're aware of it, is called Ageless Health. Ageless Health 2016. Many of you already have attended in the years gone by, and you know that we change the format every year. It is a different presentation. And we're changing a little bit this year because of some things that were going on. We're going to put it off to the spring, and then we said, you know, no, let's change the model. But Ageless Health 2016 is about maximizing the fountain of your youth. So if you really want to know how to get it together for yourself, and instead of an all-day event, we're doing 4 hours, there'll be a break in the middle of 2 hours, and you're going to get some really heavy-duty, hard packing. So are you really ready to take control of your health and really to create an opportunity for yourself and the people that you care about and that you love? Well, I want you to be there with us. And by the way, this year, seating is very limited. We only have, you know, normally we're there for 230 people, and we sell out completely, and we sell out before the event. This year, because of a limited venue and because we decided to recreate the model a little bit, there's only going to be about 125 seats available. So you have to make sure that you, and there's across the board, it's only one price. And if you sign up now before the end of the month, before August 31st, you can save what's $10 off of a already very, very low rate of $59. $49 right now to the end of the month, early bird special. You can do it one of two ways. You can go to agelesshealth2016.com or go to our website at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. And in the left-hand column, and we got it in a couple places on the front page, but click Ageless Health and then go through, register now, get it done. And we're going to have a great, great evening. It's going to start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to go till 9, and then we're finished. We're going to wrap it up. And I promise you, it's going to be over the top. But it's, Sue's going to be talking about the power of food, you know, to restore your health and increase your vitality. Dr. Pina's going to be talking about energy to heal and strengthen and beyond anything that you can possibly begin to imagine. Dr. Matt Adams is going to talk about your brain and the nervous system and getting rid of the toxic load on your brain. Dr. Bryce Miller is going to talk about never cheating on your exercise, because it truly, truly, truly can save your life. As by the way, we're going to talk a little bit about today. Dr. Scott Lamp, many of you've, you know, heard, you know, Dr. Gadget, as I lovingly call him. He's going to talk about your posture and how it can kill you if you don't really do certain things, and why sitting today is really, truly the new smoking of years gone by, and if you don't get it done. And I'm going to talk about your crystal ball, I mean, your genetic crystal ball, and that you don't have to express your grandparents and your parents and your great-great-grandparents' genes. You don't have to have the cardiovascular problems, the cancer problems, and all those things. So join us, and that'll be on October, in the middle of the month, the 13th, Thursday evening, 2016, go to the website and get it done. Register today. We want you. Remember, seating is extremely limited this year, only 125 seats, because we're doing a different model. But I promise you, it's going to be a night that is going to be fantastic for you. We're going to learn so much together. We're going to show you things. We're going to do a little hands-on demonstrations. You're going to get it, and you're going to be able to take it home and really make a difference in what you do. So you're going to be able to, you know, use energy to heal and strengthen, power foods are restoring your health and how you get that brain toxin to, you know, to dissipate. And we're going to show you models of exercise that is adaptable to all of you. And it's going to be a great night. I want you there. I want to have fun with you. I want to, you know, show you how you can take your health back, because society isn't doing it for you, my friends. And they're, you know, they're content by putting you on drugs and medications and say, well, you have to live with this for the rest of your life. I wanted to tell you that it's not so much that way. You can do something different. We're coming up to that place where we have to acknowledge our vendors. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. It's getting warmer outside again. Nevertheless, enjoy it while we got it, because it may not be here later on. Give me a call, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that you have in mind relative to your health. If you'd like to have a little different look at things and how to, you know, apply something that you have control over and get you off of medications, you know, 70% of you are on meds. And how many of you are on medications that, you know, your doctor didn't prescribe, called aspirin or NSAIDs or things that you buy over the counter or things of that nature? That's not included in that statistic, by the way. Are we that sick of a society? Unfortunately, if we continue down that path, we're going to be a whole lot sicker. And, you know, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars when it comes to the impact on society. It's, you know, as we said, some authors are saying as high as $250 billion as the side effect monetary, oh my God, application because of the drugs that you're on. It's called iatrogenic idiopathic. 888-630-9625. Barbara, thank you for being patient. How can I help you?
Oh, yes. Good afternoon. Yes, I hope I'm conveying this correctly. Someone told me that, I believe it was a chiropractor, recommended to the patient to have prolotherapy and or platelet-rich plasma therapy injections to repair ankle tendon damage caused by multiple sprains. Do you do that, and are they valid?
No, we don't do that. On a very rare occasion, we may refer out for it, but prolotherapy is a sucrose, a sugar injection, into the joint space or the tendon to harden. It's called sclerotic, causing a sclerosis so the tendon can have some tensile strength. Now, the long-term effect, short-term effect, when it is necessary, it can be useful. And particularly in those situations where somebody is contemplating surgery, we deal with a lot of professional athletes, and that's the last thing that we would advise them to do, simply because it doesn't at that point have the elasticity that you would normally have. There's many things that can be done, but before you do anything like that, if you want to have joint mobility, particularly in an ankle tendon, you want to make sure that you've explored every other option. By that, I'm talking about things as simple as acupuncture and low energy light laser, balancing the muscles in the area. Because see, what happens with tendons is that we'll use something very simple. We'll use your shoulder, and you have your front of your arm, the biceps. So when you flex your arm, the biceps is firing, and the behind the arm, the triceps, is relaxing. And as long as it's doing that cooperatively and at full facilitation, meaning strength, then the elbow and the shoulder work very nicely. But sometimes the shoulder begins to ache, or the elbow begins to ache, because the opposing muscles aren't firing the way they're supposed to. So that can be neurological. It can be the relationship from the energetic system, the acupuncture system. Remember, if you heard the show repetitively, you'll hear me say that every organ in the body has a muscle that it communicates with. So, and it does it through the nervous system and the energetic platforms of acupuncture system. It does it through reflexes, the blood supply, and it goes on. So if those systems aren't working, then it can often reflect itself into the structural system, causing inhibition, and subsequently begin to show pain and strain. So now you have a muscle that's not working, okay? And you reach over to do something, and you overstretch, even tear some of the fibers. But unless you're in a place where surgery is truly recommending is the only, this is what's going to correct it, I would do everything. And then the last piece would be prolotherapy. And does it work? It works, but again, It's the hardening. It doesn't work just in a joint space. It doesn't work for muscle patterns. But if you use it in the tendon and ligament structure, and the reason the thought process is simply because those areas don't have as much blood supply as others, and they feel that this hardening can take place and get it done. I don't know if you watch football. Aaron Rodgers, who plays professional football as a quarterback, just had a tendon replaced. His father's a chiropractor. And he had to have a tendon done because he ripped it up. And he went on, he was kidding. He said, you know, this guy must have been a star athlete. He's going to be my 40 times faster. But he didn't, you know, he didn't do what you're talking about because there was a rupture of it. So, and it was a snap. He had a cadaver replacement of the tendon in his ankle. So you have to be very careful. You have to make sure that you look at all the possibilities, first. We refer out only when other things have been exhausted, and because we know what happens, and, you know, particularly with, as we said, prolotherapy is going to harden and it's going to toughen it. And in that, it's going to decrease its flexibility. Barbara, I hope that helps you a little bit. If I can help you any more, just send me a note through RoselleCare.com. Appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject that you have in mind. We're talking about some interesting things, but I'd like to hear about your particular situation. So, you know, let's talk about some studies that have shown that 80% of the time people who have heart attacks have the exact same total cholesterol as people who have never had a heart attack. Isn't that interesting? So when you go across the board, that these folks who are having heart attacks and dropping dead from heart attacks, it goes to the extent that you can draw a conclusion it isn't about the cholesterol. So we have a myth here. So the myth says that high cholesterol is the root cause of cardiovascular disease. Not so much. You know, since the early 1950s, there was a scientist, and I think the name was Ansel Keys. I think you can look it up, but I'm almost positive that's the name of the guy. And, you know, he went through and he took a look at data to support the hypothesis that saturated fat was the main driver of heart disease. And so we then blame cholesterol for everything when it comes to cardiovascular health and so forth. And that's when it started. And, you know, physicians have urged patients to drop their, you know, to get away from high fat diets, to adopt low fat diet things and take their statins and their aspirin and so forth. But here's the situation. It doesn't work. And you need fat. You need fat for heart health and brain health, and hormones and so forth. And, you know, you go through and you look at these guys and they absolutely say, well, this is the situation. Well, it's not so much. The biggest misconception is fundamentally this approach. Cholesterol is not the primary driver to cardiovascular problems. And that's not me saying that. This is very well documented stuff. You need to look it up. And, you know, in other words, you know, there's something else. What is that something else? It's called inflammatory disease, inflammation. And inflammation comes from many different things. It comes from stress. It comes from not being in shape. It comes from eating the wrong things. It comes from injuries that don't go away. Chronic pain patterns are one of the worst. If you're in pain and if you're hurting, you're going to constantly develop an inflammatory reaction, you know, this cardiometabolic syndrome, let's call it, which is really nothing more than inflammation and stress. And then your insulin is knocked down, and then your nervous system doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And then you start breaking down the tissue in the cells that make up your arteries and the like. And that's where all this comes from. You know, so when you start looking at, well, let's get rid of the fat, you're actually doing yourself a disservice because things are going to get worse. You know, and if you're having problems, you know, balancing, and now we, at least some of us are aware that you have to balance. You have to balance these different types of fats in your body. And, you know, if your doctor sends you to the lab and they order what? They order total cholesterol, and they order triglycerides, and they order LDLs, and they do order HDLs. And then they do this little funny ratio between total cholesterol and HDLs and so forth, and they give you your percentage risk of, you know, dying of a heart attack. Well, the problem is that's only the scratching the surface of the story. There's all of these subcategories within each one of those fats. So you can have you know, the LDL, which is the bad protein, you could have it at a very, very low level and still be in trouble because there's these things called apolipoproteins that make up the composition of these LDLs and HDLs, by the way, and they tell you whether you have a risk level. You could have a high LDL level, I mean 140 and 150. And if the numbers of LDLs, bad guys, are these big, bouncy, they don't stick to anything type of fats in your body or proteins, and actually they're proteins, you're not going to plaque unless there's a high level of an inflammatory response. The LDLs that are these low-density lipotropins, they're like, visualize them like little BBs or ball bearings, and they drop and they stick and they lock in. They're almost magnetic to the tissue. And those are the ones that are going to cause you a problem, but you got to know which ones are which. And so subsequently, you can do things about that. So you have to look at the breakdowns of these things. You know, we're told, you know, eating cholesterol and saturated foods, you know, raise our blood cholesterol levels. Not so much. You know, for decades, you know, we've been fed the diet hypothesis, you know, which suggests that foods that are heavy in cholesterol and saturated fats, you know, including, by the way, butter and eggs and things of that nature and red meats, you know, raise our cholesterol levels. But the truth of it is, it ain't so much. You know, you need those things in your body. You need healthy fats. You need things that allow your body to work as it was meant to be. And then, you know, everybody decided, you know, well, we have to have grains. You know, we have to grain. I tell my patients, look, you know, anything that they feed a cow or a pig or any other animal to take it to market shouldn't be in your body. You know, you need tons and tons of great vegetables in your system. You need nuts and seeds, and you need clean proteins, things that are in today's world. Unfortunately, things are being altered and, you know, broken up that we don't know what it is that we're getting. But you can get gluten free. You can get organic. You can get free range. You can get those are the things that you need to know about and make sure that you're aware of it. But if we continue buying into the paradigm, if we buy into this nonsense, in my opinion, that tells us that if we do X, Y, and Z, we're going to die. Well, the problem is we're doing X, Y, and Z, and we're getting sicker. Our morbidity rate is higher. And the things that we die of are sometimes called old age phenomena, meaning, you know, well, poor guy died. He's of that age now, and everything stopped. Not a good scenario when it comes to we're supposed to be the leading force in the world when it comes to health and wellness. You know, there's an MD by the name of Rita Redberg. She's a cardiologist at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center, and she's the editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine. She wrote a interesting pointed critique in the New York Times arguing that the shift in guidelines that has taken place over, you know, a period of time was not based on data showing the benefits of lowering cholesterol and would primarily benefit big pharma. That's something else. This is coming from their own stuff. Now, I'm quoting. That's not me. I'm quoting. And so take that to heart. Start questioning everything that's said to you. You know, I went in for a treadmill exam, and, you know, because I need to do that every couple of years, and, you know, I try to get it outside our practice and, you know, get somebody else to look at me. So I walk in, and, you know, my blood pressures the day I walked in was 120 over, I think, about 76, 78. They took it as when I walked in. It's usually much lower than that. And, you know, most of people said, well, and by the way, I take no medications. I take nothing of a prescription type. I haven't in decades. And so, you know, the guy's taken me, he's looking at my age and so forth, and he's taken my history, and then they did a FLEC EKG and so forth. And he asked me, he said, you know, do I get any symptoms? I said, the only symptom I get once in a while, probably a couple times a year, is that my heart flutters a little bit. If I'm under way too much stress, I take a whole bunch of magnesium and some B complex, and I go sit quietly in a corner, and, you know, I don't see it again for 6 months to eight until I go crazy again and I'm doing what I do. So he's, you know, I'm sitting in his office, and he's telling me that, you know, that, well, you know, my age and so forth, and the models show that I should be on a statin, I should be taking aspirin. And I looked at him, I said, Doc, really? I said, do you see who I am and what I do? And you think I'm really going to take that in light? And I quoted him. I went and I referenced probably five articles off the top of my head. I said, that's your stuff. That's not mine. This is your stuff. And he said, I know, but I have to, it's my job to give you. And so many of us will go in and say, yes, sir. Yes, doctor. Put me on that stuff. And, you know, I said, is there anything that, well, we really need to put you through all this other t-. I said, you're not going to put me through anything. I said, not going to happen. I said, I came simply because it's part of my ongoing physical that I do on a regular basis. And this isn't the guy that I usually use because, you know, I trained him a long time ago. The bottom line is there's a time for intervention and there's time that, you know, it's pure folly and stupidity in my opinion. And we have to become educated based on, you know, what it is that we want for our lives and what we can do. Poor guy came in the other day and he's on all kinds of meds, and blood thinners and so forth. For nothing, because he's of age risk level. And I said, you kidding me? He said, no, my wife forced me to do it. I said, your wife forced you to do it? I said, look, here's the data, my friend. You know, I bet you since you've been taking this, I listed the symptoms that are associated with the type of meds that, and I pulled it up on the website and I let him read it. He said, oh my God, this is all the stuff that's been happening to me since I started taking it. I said, yeah, you're going to be a statistic. You've got to do something different. You have to change your attitude, because if you don't change your attitude, you're going to have a problem. Do I sound like I'm on a soapbox today? Yeah, probably. Listen, Ageless Health 2016 coming up in October. Go to RozelleCare.com, October 13th. Join us. I promise you I'm going to give you more information than you thought was possible, and all of us together are going to make a difference in your life. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And when I'm not here, how you find me is you go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. And you can get a hold of any of the doctors at the Rozelle Center by just, you know, going online and picking the guy you want to talk to and send us a note, and we'll do our very best to get back to you promptly. Sometimes with me, because I'm traveling, I'm all over the place, it takes a little time, but I will talk to you and get back to you as quickly as possible. We're here every Sunday, 12 noon. And those of you listening to us on the West Coast, you know how to do the math, and just tell your friends about the show, because we want to do as much as we can for you. Alice, how can I help you? Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I have a question about water. You were talking last week in the beginning of the program about toxins in tap water.
Yes, ma'am.
And how do we go about getting a good supply of water from our taps or filters or...
Well,
I go to a place in College Park where it has a system where you can, they take their tap water and put it through reverse osmosis and charcoal. And
Reverse osmosis is probably as good as you possibly can get. You know, the problem is you know, fluoride toxicity is really serious. And, you know, the symptoms that we've talked about, everything from neurological degeneration to digestive problems and acute things like, you know, severe nausea and vomiting and the like. But, you know, the fatigue and the weakness and all that stuff, the symptoms go huge. Our house, we double filter everything. We filter the water as it's coming in, and we filter the water as it comes to whatever we're using to drink or to cook and so forth. And at that, you can get rid of most of that stuff. As I have said before, the problem with filtration is that it doesn't get rid of all the hormones that we dump into the water, and doesn't get rid of the neurological medications that, you know, that we give patients. But you can do this. You just have to get a good filtering system. Reverse osmosis is excellent. The Aquasana is a very decent company, and we've arranged for our patients and our listeners to be able to get 20% off from Aquasana. You can call the office, you can ask for the information, and we don't do anything with it. You just say, hey, you know, how can I get a hold of Aquasana? And the girls will either call you back or send us a note, and we'll get it out to you. But that's what you do, okay?
All right, that sounds great.
Alice, thanks for calling. I appreciate it very, very much. Okay, Bernie, how can I help you?
Well, I've been taking a statin for almost 15 years now. I had triple bypass in San Francisco.
Yep.
15 years ago?
Yes, sir.
And I've been trying to get off of that darn thing. Can you give me any advice along those lines?
Well, Bernie, first of all, you're not my patient, so I don't know enough about your medical history to, you know, to guide you. But I can tell you that you have to look at several factors and you can't just abruptly, depends on the level that you're taking. You have to get a doctor that really understands what it is. I'll tell you what I will do, though. send me a note to the website, and I'll give you the listing, because I see you're out of West Virginia. I'll try to get a couple names for you that will help you do this. But the bottom line is, until I see what your blood profile looks like, including the inflammatory markers and so forth, it's very difficult to tell you. But how much, what statin and how much of it are you taking?
Simvastatin.
Yep.
And 400 milligrams.
Yeah, you're taking a lot.
No, not 40. I'm sorry.
Oh, 40. Okay. I was going to say somebody's really got your overdose. Even at that, 40 is way too much. Generally, you can begin to lower that, but I wouldn't go off of it without guidance. You want to make sure that you're taking CoQ10 at least 200 milligrams a day, because this is depleting all of your minerals that you need for your heart to work the way it's supposed to. So you want to at least start with that while you get somebody. And like I said, get a hold of me and I will try to, you know, refer you. If you were in the office, we could help you with that. But obviously we're way away from you. So let me see what I can do to help you through. Appreciate it. You know, we see so much of that. Unfortunately, I didn't get into everything that I wanted to talk to you about today. You know, the different myths about heart disease and the things that you need to do. But I'll tell you what, get rid of the fats, or keep the fats, get rid of the grains, exercise a whole lot. You know, if you're smoking, don't. Learn how to deplete the stress by praying or meditation. Go for a walk. Enjoy the people you're around. We're coming up to the end of the program. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Love you all.